Welcome to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Luanne Crane, here with our host, author and psychologist, Dr. James Dobson. And Doctor, just a few short weeks ago, we had the privilege of spending some time visiting with one of my heroes in the faith. That would be the widow of the great Dr. Adrian Rogers.
Well, what a precious woman Joyce Rogers is, a great friend to Shirley and me. And it was an honor and a privilege to host her here at Family Talk. She shared at that time with us what it was like to lose her beloved husband, Dr. Adrian Rogers, who was like a brother to me. And he served the Lord in ministry for 54 years. Joyce has written a marvelous book for widows called Grace for the Widows, A Journey Through the Fog of Loss. That was a very special time together, and I'm pleased to say that Joyce is back with us again today. Joyce, welcome back. It's so good to have you as our guest again.
Thank you.
When you were with us last time, you also told us about the loss of your little baby, Philip. That was early in your marital life.
Yes.
And today, Joyce, we're going to talk about the third great loss in your life having to do with the death of your great-granddaughter, little Poppy Joy. I remember when she was born. I remember when she died. Poppy's mother and your granddaughter, Angie Luce, has also joined us today to talk about that. Angie and her husband, Nathan, have three children other than Poppy.
Yes.
Thanks for also joining us as our guest today.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Tell us about this special little girl, Poppy Joy, whom you only got to spend a very short time with on this earth. She had a chromosomal anomaly called Edwards syndrome, or trisomy 18. That is the same anomaly that former Senator Rick Santorum and his wife Karen's little girl, Bella, has. Bella, of course, is now 3 years old, and for a child with this disorder, to live that long is very unusual, isn't it?
It is. We found out about Poppy when we went in for our 20-week ultrasound. We had no expectations on that day other than finding out whether we were having a boy or a girl. And this was our second baby. And when we walked into that ultrasound room that day, after several minutes of looking and seeing what looked to me to be a completely normal and healthy baby, the ultrasound technician told me that she needed to go get the doctor to come in. And my doctor walked in, and he had tears in his eyes as he told me he wasn't sure at that moment what was wrong, but he knew that this baby was going to be incompatible with life, is what they told us at that time.
Oh, that's an awful phrase.
It is, and we walked out of that office holding, you know, that DVD we had taken in, hoping to capture that first ultrasound, and instead we were being sent to a high-risk specialist to find out what was wrong, and that is when they were able to determine that it was trisomy 18, and they were not able to give very many specifics other than the fact that it is not very likely for many to make it to birth, and after birth, long-term life is not likely at all.
Now, he saw a number of physical disorders there on that day, didn't he?
He did. And as we laid on, I laid on that ultrasound table for about 2 hours that afternoon and watched our little girl kick and suck her thumb and look so normal to me. But what the doctor told me was that she had three times too much fluid on her brain and a club foot, was missing a kidney, and had a hole in her heart. And all of these were just indicators of the bigger problem, which was the one that they had no power to do anything for, medically speaking.
Angie, were you just stunned?
I was. It was almost impossible to get my head around the fact that this was my reality now.
Yeah.
That when I had woken up that morning, my life was no longer the same as it had been. And everything changed in that hour. And it was very difficult to absorb that in those first days.
Your husband's name, Nathan.
Yes.
How did he react?
I think it was we were both in shock. I think he hurt on top of for the loss for himself, but for me, knowing that carrying her was a very difficult thing now as the months ahead were unknown. And so he struggled with that too, his concern for me, as well as just the grieving we immediately started doing for what we knew was going to be, we had expected a second child. And now, although we were still having a second child, it was not the expectation that we had gone into that with.
Now, the obstetrician offered you an abortion.
That is correct. Once we went in, they assumed we would have an abortion. It was almost not even a question of, are you going to? They just began telling us the states we needed to go to have a late-term abortion, as Tennessee was one that that could not be performed in. And so they began just in front of us saying, all right, which state do we need to send them to? And we were able to cut them off.
Well, you flew by that pretty quickly. So this was considered, you were about 4 or 5 months along.
I was 20 weeks.
And this was considered late term. So they automatically start giving you, you're still trying to absorb.
This is still
this
the day
emotion.
We found out. And we were still in that ultrasound room at the high risk specialist when the doctor and the ultrasound tech began consulting with each other on which state would be best for us to go to. And they began telling us, you need to make your appointment immediately. You don't need to wait any longer. And my husband quickly told them, you know, no matter how long we have this baby, she is a gift from God and she is a life. And it is not in our hands to say when that life will end.
Doctor, it strikes me that that's the kind of decision you need to make beforehand. You know, you are completely ill-equipped to make that kind of a decision when your emotions are raw. That's why you come to these microphones for so many years and talk about that commitment to the preborn child.
You know, I hate to say this, but it would have been medical malpractice not to have discussed that with you at that point. It's a shame. Mm-hmm. And I'm grateful that you were not lured into that, or you would have regretted it for the rest of your life.
And it was a decision that we had made already in our life. And so it wasn't a question to us at that moment. But I am so glad that it was something that we had decided in our hearts beforehand, before knowing anything was wrong.
In fact, you all began praying that the Lord would let that baby live long enough for you to meet her.
That's right. We, as the months unfolded, I began to see every step that I took towards God, He took 10 back towards me. And He also really, I felt God's prompting, even though it made me very vulnerable to have hope and ask for anything specific, I did feel God's urging to pray specifically, that He wants us to pray specifically. And I knew that I might receive the answer no, but I did pray and ask that we would be able to hold her.
Angie, those of us who have given birth know that during that pregnancy, you bond with that child already. How did that affect your pregnancy for the remainder of that time? I mean, did you have this anxiety? Were you afraid to even embrace this child within you?
I tried to nail that down the very first day that we found out, because I felt very strongly that protective mechanism to not bond with this baby. And at the same time, God pricked my heart and said, this child is so special and I've given her to you and she's a miracle just as your other daughter is. And we had not named her. And I felt at that moment we needed to sit down and give this baby a name. I wanted to name her because to me that was connecting with her and bonding with her, and giving her a name kind of took away the distance. And I really did want to enjoy every second, especially knowing that our seconds with her after birth were unknown. Mm-hmm. I wanted to take advantage of all those I had with her when she was still in my womb.
Did you hold her?
We did. We did. We went into the operating room on December 1st, and it was unexpected. I went into labor, and I was 38 weeks pregnant. Mm-hmm. And as I entered in that operating room, I felt I had been nervous about this day. Understandably, God had led me on an amazing journey and brought me so far, but I never knew when the moment came what was going to happen when she was born. How was I going to react to that? Mm-hmm. And as they wheeled me to that operating table, I had to have a C-section. She had hydrocephaly, which meant that her head was too large to be delivered. And I was wheeled into a room where I felt the tangible presence of God more clearly than I ever have in my life. Mm-hmm. And I really never felt more safe or more at peace than I did in that operating room, which is a miracle. And it is supernatural, straight from God, because I felt like it should have been a moment of panic and fear of not knowing what was going to happen. But they delivered Poppy, and they had told us the first minute was crucial. Knowing whether she would breathe would determine whether or not we would have any time with her. And as they lifted her out, we heard a small sound, and then we heard nothing. And my husband, Nathan, had been holding my hands at my head, and I sent him over. I said, please go see what's going on. We couldn't see anything. And as he left my side, I just said four words out loud. I said, God, let her breathe. And right then, she started crying. And I felt, and I still believe, that God just breathed into her lungs, and Nathan brought her over to my head. And as they finished the surgery and they sewed me back up, we had 30 minutes where he held her inches away from my face. And we just talked to her, and we poured out everything that that we had had in our hearts during the months that we had been preparing for her birth. And they're just so precious to us, those moments and those memories with her.
Joyce, that was your little great-grandbaby, that little granddaughter. Were you there?
I was. And I want to just give a little insight, because I remember one thing that Angie wanted to do, and a hope that she had. She had wanted for every one of her family members to hold Poppy Joy. And I kept thinking, oh, we need to give this baby back. We need to give this baby back to Angie. And, you know, but then I found out that she had prayed that the baby would live long enough for every one of us to be able to hold that baby.
Did you have an opportunity to feed her? Could she feed?
No, and I don't think she could eat. But we did have, after they wheeled us back into the normal delivery room, we were able to bring back anybody we wanted. And we did let my little girl Marianne hold her first. And then we were able to pass her around. We sang Jesus Loves Me, and we had just praise time.
Oh,
and we had about 50 people back in that room, friends and family, who would walk this journey with us and prayed for us every step of the way. And she was doing so well, they said there was no reason to expect that she was going to go anytime soon, and they were going to move me up into a normal postpartum room. Mm-hmm. And everybody kind of trickled out of the room, and they had placed Poppy back in my arms. And at that moment, I looked down, and I knew that she was gone and that she was with Jesus. But it was such an answer, the clearest answer to our prayer. You can never pray for a specific amount of time with your child, because how could I possibly know what that time was? But I had asked God to give me the time I needed. And he answered those prayers so specifically to let her be born and to let her meet all of our friends and family. And as the last person walked out the door, that's when he took her home. And his love for us and his kindness, and that was so clear to us, even that first day. And we got to hold her, Nathan and I did, and I did not know this, but her heart continued beating even after she was no longer with us. And for the next 45 minutes, they came in and they checked gradually as it slowed down. And we got to just give her to Jesus and thank him for that time that we had had with her.
You know, there is no faith experience, there is no religion on earth that could bring comfort at a moment like that.
That's right.
Other than the living Christ.
Yes.
And that's what you were feeling.
That is. That is what we experienced. God's faithfulness to us was so much bigger than I could have ever foreseen. And there was nothing special about me, and there was nothing special about my faith. What I realized is it was just making the choice to step out in faith and trust God.
Yeah.
To take hold of his promises that while we don't understand, he has a purpose in it. Mm-hmm.
Explain the origin of the name Poppy Joy.
Poppy had been a name that I had heard, and I thought it was the most beautiful name. And when we were pregnant with my first daughter, I had wanted to name her that, but we had gotten some surprised looks when we had said it's an unusual name. And so we had kind of abandoned that name. But on that day, we first got the diagnosis, and we were sitting there throwing out names. I admit, I was thinking we better not use any of the names that we had planned on, since this baby probably isn't going to live. And God just at that moment, I felt showed, pricked my heart even, convicted me. And he said, you're right. You can't use those names, but it's because they're not special enough. And my husband said, what about Poppy? And what we found out about poppies is that they are one of the most beautiful, but one of the most delicate flowers in creation. And I felt that her life was so beautifully portrayed by that flower. And she did. It's a bloom that doesn't last very long, but it's brilliant. And to me, that's what her life was like. And for her service, as we were preparing for her celebration of life service, I had asked my mom to ask our florist if it would be possible to have any poppies. But she had died in December. And the florist immediately said, there is no way, no poppies grow in December. And it was a day later that we got a phone call from him. And he said that he didn't know how, but he had found 24 poppies in Hong Kong, and they were going to be put on a passenger plane to Memphis, and he was going to run up there and get them before her service. And he had no idea what condition they would be in, but he brought them, and they were the most beautiful flowers I have ever seen. Mm-hmm. And again, it was God's one of those ways that he reaches out to us and shows his kindness. Flowers are small, mm-hmm. but they were such a beautiful symbol to me.
Describe that service. What do you remember from that day, Angie?
That day was special to me. I had pondered before she was born on how much I should do to prepare for a service. Mm. I didn't want to be gloomy, and I didn't want to demonstrate a lack of faith by planning her service before she was born. At the same time, I wanted to be practical, and I wanted the service to be express my heart. And what we did for her service was not to have a traditional sermon, but we had the scriptures that had carried us through, and we had all of our family members and our closest friends each read one of these to demonstrate how much a part of our journey that they had been. And they would read these throughout the service. We also chose the songs that had really carried us through to be played. And then Nathan and I both spoke and shared what a gift that we felt like she had been, and how we really wanted her life to point glory to God, and how grateful we were that it had already done so. And she brought joy to us in a way that we could never have imagined.
Angie, obviously you're at the end of this journey, but I'm just thinking of that woman right now who maybe just this week got that news, and she doesn't quite have the victory that you're feeling right now. Speak to her.
I will say this, that those moments can be so, so dark. But even in those dark moments, let your heart turn to God for that strength and comfort, and not to anger or the injustice of it, because that doesn't give you anything in return. And we grieved and we cried, and there were many dark days, and I think that that has to happen. But never, never did we turn away from God. I think that what I decided was that it's possible to you feel like you want to blame somebody when something bad happens to you. And in this case, the only person to blame would be God. And somehow holding on to anger seems to bring momentary, not comfort, but it gives satisfaction. But I think that that is a very shallow satisfaction, and it leaves you in a place you don't want to be. Mm-hmm. And what I would say is to find somebody else who is going through that. I did, and through blogs and through the internet, it is possible to find other people who are going through the same thing. I found 7 other ladies who were all carrying babies the same time I was, who had trisomy 18.
Oh my.
And that connection was so vital. There's a verse in 2 Corinthians that talks about how the God of all comfort comforts us in our times of trial, so that we then can comfort others with that same comfort that he has comforted us. And that is how I saw God working in all of us as we were able to comfort each other. And that was one of the biggest lifelines I had, was those other ladies who were experiencing that.
Joyce, you now have 3 members of your immediate family who are in heaven.
Right.
Philip, Adrian, and Poppy. You think about them,
yes,
and about the reunion that's coming.
Right, right.
You know, when we did the program on your widowhood and Adrian's passing, I did not see tears in your eyes, but I see them now. This little baby touched your heart, didn't she?
Indeed, and it's hard to put in. I mean, these really are two incredible young people, but they have a great foundation in God's Word put into their lives. Angie's an incredible person. She's been through other times of grief in her life, and God has built into her wonderful things.
Doctor, I think of that scripture that says, Lord, you have given me the heritage of those who love your name. And I'm sitting here looking at Mrs. Joyce Rogers, talking about her great-granddaughter, and what a legacy of faith has been handed on. In fact, there's even a precious new component to this story. Angie, tell us about the new baby who came into your family after Poppy Joy.
Sure. After we had Poppy, the doctors told us that it would be quite some time before we could have children of our own again because of the type of surgery I had had. And while it seemed like God was shutting a door in our life, it really became apparent that he was opening a window, as we hear. He really did that because we had both, Nathan and I, had a desire to adopt in our hearts. We didn't see ourselves doing it at 25. But I felt after Poppy had died, I felt a stirring in my spirit to pursue adoption. And we began to look into the options, and in May, just 6 months after Poppy had died, we got the call that Adrian had been born, and we named her after my grandfather. Mm-hmm. I wanted her to know my grandfather was my hero, and I wanted her to have his name, which was so special to me. And I thought, what better way can I tell her how much we love her than to give her his name? And Adrian has been the greatest blessing in our life. She is joy and sunshine, and the picture of adoption is so beautiful. We love adoption, and I really see it as one story. Poppy's story and Adrian's story are one story, because when we were in that ultrasound room on July 25th and we got that news, the future looked very dark, but God sees the whole picture, and he knew that there was going to be Poppy, and he knew how he was going to use her life, and he knew that even when Poppy was dying, that Adrian was in her birth mother's womb, and that she was a continual part of that story.
We can't imagine life without Adrian. Mm-hmm. So sweet.
I'm holding a calendar that I guess your family has put together.
My sister did that for my grandmother.
There are these two gorgeous little girls.
Man.
I wish everybody could see this.
Angie, would you give us permission to post some of these photos online?
Absolutely.
Okay. Angie, thank you for sharing this experience with our listeners. You have given hope, and you've given courage and strength to some other women who are out there who either have or will experience what you have gone through. Thank you for sharing it, and also for pointing to the cross and to Jesus, because he is the centerpiece of your story, isn't he?
He sure is, and I do pray that when people hear our story, that they walk away from it encouraged, not because of the outcome, but because of the God that we serve. And to me, what our story is just a story of his faithfulness, and that story is played out in everybody's life in different ways, but that's it. We saw it so clearly through these circumstances.
Joyce, this is the third program we've done together. Thank you for being with us again.
Oh, have we mentioned the latest blessing? Little Graham.
We do have a third baby now.
Oh, my goodness. We almost missed it.
Yeah. We do. God bless us with another child. And
he's all boy. He's a hunk.
He is. He is. We're very grateful for him.
And how old is he now?
He's 15 months.
Bring him, okay?
All right.
God's blessings to you.
And I know every one of us is sitting here hoping and praying that this message of God's faithfulness today has made its way into the hearts and minds of our listeners, especially those of you who have lost a child or perhaps recently got that scary diagnosis about the precious baby that you're carrying. If that is you, please pick up the phone right now and call us at Family Talk. We would really consider it an honor to speak with you, pray with you, direct you to some folks who can help you. especially if someone in your life has told you that maybe the best route is to choose abortion. Please know you have the option of choosing life, and we want to help you find that here at Family Talk. Our number, around the clock, you can call it 877-732-6825. Again, 877-732-6825. If you prefer to connect online, stop by drjamesdobson.org. I really would encourage you to do that because we have a link to Angie's blog, lots of her family pictures, and even information about how you can get Angie Luce's book about her journey. It's called Poppies in December. Again, all of this available at drjamesdobson.org. And one last time, the phone number, 877-732-6825. Thanks so much for joining us today. We hope this broadcast has been an encouragement to you, and we'll see you back here again for the next edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.